The Apostle Paul and countless others were willing to suffer torture and even sacrifice their lives to bring the truth of God's word to you. The only reason you have it is because of what those people did. And we can understand that when it comes to the parts of Scripture that talk about how to become saved. It's worth sacrificing everything so that other people can go to heaven instead of hell. That makes sense. But most of what Paul taught wasn't about that. It was about how to live the Christian life. Have you ever thought about why it was worth it to Paul to sacrifice everything in order to bring you instructions about how to fight greed in your heart or envy or how to become more humble?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
So I have a question for you to consider at the very outset here. What is the greatest possible world? When you think of the perfect paradise of every possible world that could conceivably exist, the best combination of circumstances, the most beautiful, beneficial, excellent, most spectacular, most awesome, most awe-inspiring, most exciting world possible, what would it be? Whatever comes to your mind, hold it for a minute and just let it simmer for, and I'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. So we're studying through Philippians 4. We made it to verses 8 and 9. Last time we made the observation that there are two commands in this passage. Verse 8, think. Verse 9, do. So thinking and doing. Verse 8 is all about how God wants us to think, and verse 9 is all about how He wants us to behave. He wants us to think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy, and He wants us to put into practice the things that we've learned from His Word. Everything, whatever you've learned, put it into practice. And at the end of the message last time, I made a point about the fact that those two things, the thinking and the doing, have to go together. When people emphasize doing without the thinking, then they focus mainly on the commands of Scripture and don't pay so much attention to the information and the doctrine and the theology behind it. When they do that, they fall into what we call moralism. And moralism is a sure ticket to failure in the Christian life. It never works. You can't just white-knuckle your way through to sanctification. You can't obey the commands without understanding the reasons and the motives and the history and the doctrine and all the rest that goes underneath it. So, watch out for moralism. That was last time. Now, to pick up right where we left off, on the other side, many people err in the opposite direction. Instead of focusing just on the commands of Scripture, neglecting the truths and the information, they focus on the information and they neglect the commands. And I don't know if there's a name for this one. The other one we called moralism. This one I'll just make up my own name and call it theologism. So theologism is when you emphasize theology, the principles, the facts, the truths, the doctrines, but underemphasize the commands and the instructions on how we're supposed to live. And this is a big problem. Theologians write books and books and books about all the various facts of Scripture, information about God, information about Satan, information about heaven, information about salvation, about end times, about this, about that, but very little on how we should live, how to behave. If you want to know how to improve your marriage or how to solve a temper problem or how to defeat lust or how to increase your joy or self-control or love or any of that, you're not going to find chapters on those topics in theology books. If there's a whole sermon emphasizing this is how to live without mentioning the cross, then they call that moralism. I don't know how they deal with the book of James, which is an entire book of the Bible that tells us how to behave and never mentions the cross. But that's not more. And another catchword, they'll still call it moralism or sometimes legalism. They make it sound like if you're working hard to obey God's commands, you're legalistic. They say that's just too much law and none of grace, as if law and grace were opposites. It's not legalism to put a lot of effort into living right. Okay, that's not what legalism is, nor is it moralism. It's just what Jesus taught us to do. Putting a lot of effort into living right is what Jesus taught us to do. You look at any one of Jesus' sermons, when he taught, he didn't just give theological outlines of doctrines. He talked to people about life. He talked about paying taxes and helping the poor and marriage and finances and getting along with neighbors and the right way to worship. And He never just lectured on theological abstractions disconnected from behavior. And the apostles the same way. You read through the New Testament, it's interesting. If you look at how the New Testament writers interpret the Old Testament, huge portions of the Old Testament are just information, right? Just stories. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And not a lot of therefore live this way. Just stories and information and doctrine. This is what God is like. This is what people did. This is what God did. But whenever the New Testament mentions those things, the conclusions that they draw are always something about how we should live. They'll mention something Abraham did, and they say, therefore, live like this. Scripture is filled with those kinds of arguments. Because of this piece of information, live like this. Because of that piece of information, live like this. So all that to say, it's essential that we not just listen to God's word, but that we put it into practice. Okay? So, what can we learn from this passage about how to have greater success in getting what we know into what we do, from our head into our hand? And I think we can learn three things from this passage. The one we already learned, and that was from last time, from the context. If you want to make progress in your behavior, first you have to make progress in your thinking. So you can't pull verse 9 off until you've gone through verse 8. You got to train yourself to think about whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. We do that, and then that'll start to affect our actions. So first, the thinking. We understand that. What else? I think there's two more principles that we can learn from verse 9 about how to have greater success in putting what we know into practice. The first one comes from the way that Paul describes their learning process. He doesn't just say, put what you know into practice. Look what he says. Look at all the extra words he uses to describe what they know. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. What he's doing is making a big deal about the learning process. By using all these terms, Paul's emphasizing how much effort he put into teaching. He wants to draw attention to how important these things are that they learned by showing how much trouble he went to teach them. That's why Paul was willing to be beaten again and again, whipped, stoned, imprisoned, mocked, whatever was necessary to get this message to the people. And while he was teaching verbally, he's also teaching by example in his life. And that's the last one. Whatever you've learned, received, heard, or seen in me. If you want to make progress in the spiritual life, if you want to learn, you got to use both your ears and your eyes. You've got to watch godly people. Because that's the pattern that Paul uses throughout the book of Philippians. Every chapter, all four chapters, he gives some instruction, then he shows an example. He gives some instruction, he shows an example. Here's the principles you need to understand. Here's what it looks like in practice. I think sometimes we falter in our spiritual lives because we do so much listening and not enough watching. We listen, read, and we're practically walking Bible commentaries. We know so much, but we don't have the success we should have because we don't find somebody that we can watch them and follow their example. Because we're too private for that in our culture, right? We just want to listen, and then in the privacy of my own little heart and room and my house, I can figure out how to put it into practice on my own. But you can't make spiritual progress that way like you should. Some things, you just got to see someone do it. You just got to watch someone handle it. You have to be close enough to mature believers and around them in enough different life situations where you can just watch and see how they react to the various things that come up in life. Not only did Paul go way out of his way to teach them in every method possible, in every context possible, but they also went out of their way to learn by every method possible, watching and listening and all the rest. So what's being emphasized here is, I think, three things. How much effort Paul put forth into teaching, how much effort they put forth into learning, and how sacred and holy these things are that they received. So here's the principle that I think Paul is giving us to enable us to have better success in putting what we've learned into practice. Just simply this. Remind yourself of the importance of it. Remind yourself how much trouble teachers went to get it to you and how much trouble you went to learn it. Remind yourself of all the effort, all the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into learning the Word of God. Think of all the hours in church. All the countless hours reading and meditating on Scripture throughout your whole life. All this effort that you put forth in your life, you did that for a reason. Just remind yourself. You haven't done that with anything else like you have with Scripture. And then think of the teaching. Think of all the people who died. I mean, all the blood that has been spilled through the ages by missionaries and other teachers to get this message to you. Bible translators, to get this message to you. Think about how hard pastors have worked to study and teach. Think of scholars. I mean, think of these people who spend their entire lives studying ancient languages, and they go through the arduous effort of learning Greek and Hebrew and Latin and German and French and Spanish and Italian just so that they can get into a program where they can study some focused things so that they can get a little better understanding of scholarly works written in all these different languages, just so that they can have a little better understanding when they write a commentary, so that when you pick up your commentary and check on a verse, you have a little more accuracy. I mean, think of the effort that's gone into getting these truths to you. Our behavior is so incredibly important to God that He just puts it in people's hearts, drives them to do this, these teachers to do this, to get it to you. And He drives you to keep listening and learning. That's why you're here tonight. It's so important to God that you live these principles out.
When we're faced with temptation, it's easy to reduce the biblical principle we're tempted to violate down to a mere rule. It's not the end of the world if you break a rule here and there, right? You drive 56 in a 55, no harm, no foul. How much easier would it be to resist temptation if we had the presence of mind to think through how much more the laws of God are than mere rules? How important is it to God that I obey this principle? Well, so important, He called so many of His people to lay down their lives to bring me that principle, to suffer torture, to devote decades of their lives to study, to leave their home and to go to a strange land. God required all that of so many of His people in order to get that biblical truth to me. How important is it for us to treat that principle with reverence? Think about that the next time you struggle with a temptation.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.